The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio for the next hour. Health news you can use. Ways to stay healthy. Ways to minimize the possibility that you might be going down the path toward ill health or some sort of physical dysfunction. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. You know the famous question politicians like to ask, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago or 8 years ago? So I want to rephrase it.
Okay.
Do you think we're healthier today than we were 30 years ago or 40 years ago?
I'm so glad you're looking at me when you're asking that question. So it isn't the generic, are you better off? But I'm going to answer personally. It's very, very interesting because I am so much healthier today, even though I was brought up in a very health conscious family.
Okay. That's you personally. All right. Do you think the average person, or statistically speaking, do you think as a country we're healthier today than we were 50 years ago?
I'm so glad you were looking at me when you asked that question, too. Okay, it's a very, very sad state of affairs because we have become a nation of food abusers. We talk about addiction to certain types of recreational drugs, but the truth of the matter is I think so many people in the United States are literally addicted to junk food and sugar. And because of the way industry has progressed and gotten very, very talented at targeting people, yes, we are very much a nation overusing pharmaceutical drugs, overusing food, and to the detriment of our health.
It would be interesting to compare the types of commercials on TV from the 1950s compared to today. Now, I know back in the 1950s, they had a lot of cigarette commercials, which you don't have today because they banned those.
Appliance commercials, washing machines.
That they had a lot of.
Yes.
Right.
So the technology of the era.
And by the way, there were no drug commercials because that wasn't allowed.
Right.
You had to, it was up to your physician to make the decision whether you should take a drug.
So who were the politicians in the House of Representatives and the Senate who approved that ability of, number one, doctors to advertise, and number two, pharmaceutical companies to advertise directly to the consumer?
It created a mindset that it's okay to take drugs, that drugs are the solution to your health issues. And that really couldn't be further from the proper solution, which would be to address the underlying cause. Now, back then, if you go back to the 1950s, trying to think, if you went into a pharmacy and wanted to buy over-the-counter drugs, there weren't too many around back then, like they are, like it is today.
Aspirin, Pepto-Bismol, Bufferin, mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. Yeah. Some cough medicines.
And laxatives. But today the shelves are higher and bigger than ever before.
Okay, so just think about the size of the neighborhood pharmacy in 1950 and the size of the pharmacies that are on every intersection corner with drive-up windows.
Now, is that a sign of a healthier nation, or is it a sign that we have more freedom of choice, or none of the above?
I'm going to say none of the above, misguided nation, a nation that has been fooled into the perspective that drugs were going to make them better. And to a certain extent, the drugs are going to address a certain type of symptom, but in reward for erasing that symptom, they're going to get three or four others.
If you travel outside the country, you don't see pharmacies like you do in this country. Even though accessibility to even prescription drugs outside the country is easier, you don't need prescriptions for a lot of them. But still, the just the size and everything is different. I'm trying to make people think a little bit of these changes are so subtle over time, but the impact has really changed the health of people, because now you don't have to worry why you have a headache. You can just take a pill. You don't have to worry why you have digestive issues. You just take a remedy. And that just allows the underlying condition to get worse and worse. And the other thing, comparing commercials from the 50s to today, what kind of foods were advertised back then compared to today?
Wonder Bread, not top of the list for health supporting. MacArthur Milk down here in South Florida.
You weren't in South Florida in the 50s?
I visited.
You did? Swanson TV dinners.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Okay, so not examples of health supporting approaches.
And I think, too, probably you had margarine being advertised a lot back then. You don't see too much advertising these days for margarine.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Well, believe it or not, margarine used to be the so-called perfect substitute for butter because it had no cholesterol, but it had trans fats, and it was determined that trans fats was what was behind the increase in coronary artery disease to a large extent.
Okay, so let's continue this imaginary trip back 60 years, and let's talk about how doctors practice medicine, how hospitals operated, and what was the approach, let's say, for babies? We had vaccines, but we didn't have vaccines the way we have them today.
That's true. We only had a handful of vaccines. You had probably smallpox. I don't know if it was still being given out that time. You had smallpox and you had polio.
Let's say the polio didn't come around till after 1955, right? So in the latter part of the 50s.
You had the Salk vaccine, and then later on you had the Sabin vaccine, which they've done away with now. But that was it.
They've done away with now because they found the fault with the vaccine. And they acknowledged the fault with the vaccine.
It created more illness than it saved. But that was it when it came to vaccines. This is before measles, mumps, rubella.
TB?
They don't have a vaccine for TB.
Okay, you were tested for it.
You had a time test or the PPD, purified protein derivative. Not in this country, but in South American countries. I'm not sure about Europe. They give a BCG vaccine, which is supposed to be helpful against tuberculosis. But what's interesting is if you're born, what do they call it? They call the millennials now. They have no idea. If you watched one of the TV shows, they showed somebody, a millennial, picture of Ronald Reagan. They didn't even know who that was. I mean, it's a real state, a real sad state of affairs when you really don't know what's going on.
That actor that was elected president, is that the spokesperson for General Electric? That's who it was. And he became president.
Yeah, I think some people would say he did a good job, too.
On certain sides of the desk.
Anyway, so I don't know if that's a reflection of the state of education in this country. You know, people really don't know anything.
Okay, well, let's take a look at education. Certainly in the same vein as pharmaceutical medicine has progressed, advertising targeting has progressed, the quality of learning in our schools possibly not as sharp as it might have been.
But more importantly, everything is being controlled, and that's and the controlling interests have their own interests paramount, and and the people who are being affected
by the objects
by these,
of this,
they're the ones that lose out. That's why it's so important. Now, I think the biggest difference between now and 60 years ago is the internet. I think that was by far the biggest change, although people don't take advantage of all the information that's available on the internet. I think they use it for social media,
It's very interesting because there was an article that I was reading with regard to the last contested political conventions. There were no cell phones at those prior conventions. So the change up about how quickly information can move around a convention is going to be very, very interesting.
And, they keep bringing up, if you're going to talk a little politics about Abraham Lincoln wasn't the original nominee during
right.
that. He was maybe the third ballot. But I'm pretty sure the country wasn't even aware of what was going on. You probably had this convention, and, it probably took weeks to disseminate information anyway. So it was all over before the information got out. And really nobody, the voters didn't have any input. And today,
so
things,
it was,
like you said, are instantaneous.
And back then, as is now, it is the political elite.
And I still, the thing that still, we'll have to wait till after this.
Oh, to find out what's on your mind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we're just having kind of a little conversation here today. And that music means it's time for a break in the conversation. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about how things have changed and certainly the impact of the political status in this country and how it has affected people's health.
And a lot of explanations are going on about how the whole system works, because I think for the first time, more and more people are paying attention because things are so close. But the one explanation I haven't heard, in other words, the answer to the question is, how are delegates elected and awarded to one of the politicians running when the people didn't even vote? That one hasn't been explained yet. You know, they try to say, well, majority this, majority that, okay. But when nobody votes, how do you award delegates? Anyway, we were talking about the changes from 50 years ago to today. And I'm sure you saw a doctor 50 years ago.
I did. And as we were progressing through this conversation, I had these visual flashbacks of my doctor, Dr. Lenko, and he had an office on the first floor of his home. Mm-hmm. And he had a part-time nurse. And it was very, very, very casual. Even when my children were born, the pediatrician, who was the head of pediatrics at the hospital, he had his office as an attachment to his home. And his wife was a nurse, and she worked with him. And those were the only two people in the office.
And I, as a physician, he lived in an apartment. In the same building, we lived in an apartment building, and his office was his apartment. So,
right.
And he had a microscope there, so if there was an issue, he would, you know, draw your blood, you know, actually do a finger stick and look at it under the microscope, because that's how the machines now do a CBC. He could look at your white cells, your red cells. You could still do that today, but doctors don't, because it's time-consuming, and they don't get paid for it. You know, the unfortunate thing with healthcare is, you get what you pay for.
And back in the day, mm-hmm. you paid for that office visit. Now, there were insurances available for hospitalizations and surgeries, but that occasional visit to your physician, that was cash out of hand.
And they didn't have a lot of blood tests back then. You had a complete blood count, and you probably could do some serum chemistries. Now, here's a little trivia question. I don't think you hear this term anymore. You used to. The SMAC test.
Right.
You know, now they call it a chem panel. Do you know what SMAC stands for? SMAC? That's what they used to call it.
Right. I don't know what
it stands for. I think it was named after the actual machine that did the interpretation of the blood. Sequential multiple analysis by computer.
Okay, I'm glad they called it SMAC instead of...
So anyway, we have a lot of advantages today as far as knowing more about what's going on with our bodies. But here's the other interesting thing. You know, occasionally I'll see an old movie on TV, and with DirecTV, you could look at the cast and crew, and you can see where they were born, what year they were born, what year they died. And I was looking at a movie the other day, Run Silent, Run Deep. I'm sure some of our listeners remember that, Burt Lancaster, Clark Gable. Interestingly, Clark Gable died at 59.
Wow.
And he was a smoker, but and his last movie, by the way, was with Marilyn Monroe, if you recall.
And I'm going to say, from what I recollect, that he looked older than 59 looks today.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was a coal miner before he got into... you know,
trivia on Natural Doc Radio.
But, you know, smoking did a lot of the actors in. I mean, Errol Flynn, I think he died, was even younger than that. You know, Tyrone Power was young. John Garfield was young. But if you look at the vast majority of actors, they were living into their 80s very easily when they were born in the late 1800s. They made it into their 80s back then. So we're really, from that standpoint, we're not doing a better job today in so-called extending our life span. You know, average life expectancy may look better, but that's primarily because fewer people are dying in infancy. You know, the childhood diseases, or infant mortality has improved because of IV treatments. We can keep babies hydrated. So they used to die of dehydration if they came down with a gastrointestinal infection, where they're vomiting or diarrhea. They would die of dehydration. So we can support them until they get better. So infant mortality has gone down. But average life expectancy, and that's why average life expectancy has gone up, but lifespan hasn't really changed much.
Has average health expectancy changed? And I'm going to say in a very, very big way, because life has been extended, but quality is degraded.
Well, again, average life expectancy has, it's an average, so that's gotten longer. But as far as people living longer, not really. You know, people, you know, I mean, the average life expectancy now is in the mid to late 70s.
For men, and the early 80s for women.
And you see a lot of people hitting those numbers, but they hit those numbers 100 years ago. The only difference was you had a lot of people dying younger, either of infections or the childhood illnesses. What's changed today is, you still see a lot of people dying at a young age from various illnesses, but also from affluent malnutrition. They're not eating properly. The environment is so much more toxic than it was back then. I want to bring to everybody's attention a topic that we've talked about before. And I just wonder if the doctors are now at least routinely checking people's vitamin D levels.
I see it more and more. It is more the rarity to see blood work without vitamin D than to see the vitamin D test. It doesn't necessarily mean that the vitamin D levels are optimized or even close to optimal.
Well, and there's still a debate about what's the optimum level. I like it to be around 80. Other people say between 40 and 60, which is still far better than what people are coming in with. The ranges that you get from the lab is 30 to 100. I still see a lot of people coming to the office for the first time under 30. Imagine that, even like 13 the other day. It's really unbelievable. But people, you know, we take it for granted. I mean, our focus is on health. We see it with other people. We like to read about it. We like to understand why people get sick. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to a variety of illnesses, including heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, autoimmune disease, diabetes, both types, type 1 and 2, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's disease, infectious disease, and several deadly cancers, including breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. Why is anybody still walking around deficient in vitamin D?
Their doctors don't necessarily talk to them about optimizing levels. They don't necessarily pick out of their patient base those people who might be at a genetically greater risk for developing some of those diseases you just mentioned.
And some of the other cancers besides breast, colon, and prostate, ovarian, esophageal, lymphatic cancer, and even melanoma. But the point of this report is that if you were to raise your level of vitamin D, you may slash your risk of developing cancer by as much as 67%.
I like that number.
I mean, here's a very simple thing to do.
Very inexpensive. But Dr. Slavin, question, might that person who was at the Institute of Advanced Medicine for the first time with a vitamin D level of 13, might that person have been taking a statin drug or any class of cholesterol-lowering drug?
That person that I'm speaking of was not.
Okay.
Probably also not hanging out in the sun a lot, but, you know, you're told don't go out in the sun. And if you do, slather all that sunblock on you, so you're not going to get the benefit of vitamin D. You know, Dr. Mercola was selling, they called it tanning beds, but he called it, I don't remember exactly what he called it, but it was, the purpose was to raise your vitamin D levels by exposing yourself to ultraviolet light.
So as long as 18, 20 years ago, you had of a tanning booth, kind of.
Right. Yeah, the idea, too, was walk in there even with your clothes on, and just that exposure to light would help raise your vitamin D. I had it in the office, but I couldn't keep it in the office because the insurance company says that's too dangerous to have in your office. So I took it out. Dr. McCullough was selling these lights to, you know, and I've always said, and let's even talk about tanning beds, controlled exposure to these rays, these ultraviolet rays, controlled exposure, that's the key, is far safer than uncontrolled exposure. Now, where do you get uncontrolled exposure? When you go to the beach and you stay out there all day long, you have no idea what's happening to you. But if you were to be exposed to a light for a set period of time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Much safer.
I, again, flashbacks. I remember girls using sun lamps. Now, would the sun lamps be equal to the light in a tanning bed? And the use for those sun lamps was prevent acne or minimize acne.
I remember seeing that as, you know, we had one of those. I'm not sure what the sole purpose was. I don't know if it was to get a little tan on your face at that time. You mentioned acne. Could be also because why would it be effective against acne? Because it's antibacterial. You know, so, but the point I'm making with Dr. McCullough, you know, the government stepped in and says you can't advertise tanning beds, I guess, in that manner, you know, to raise vitamin D and make you healthier or something. I mean, the government, you know, I think is overregulated. But who's behind the government? Could it be that, you know, raising vitamin D levels is going to make people so much healthier and they didn't want that? Just like they blocked, they make it more difficult for tanning beds in general. I don't know. Are there still tanning salons around?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I think there's a lot of warning. If you were to Google tanning beds and tanning salons, there would be a lot of warnings with regard to how long you should be exposed, what kind of light is being used. So the informed consumer. But as you were saying, you know, the government stepped in with regard to a medical decision, a decision that was supportive of health, and said, no, you can't do that. And so what kind of medical freedom is there here in the United States? That medical approach is very much controlled by pharmaceutical companies and government agencies within the purview of pharmaceutical companies.
One last point, and we have more about this, but the Institute of Medicine showed that vitamin D, if you keep it in the healthy or the optimum range, in a 54-month-long study involving over 420,000 healthy adults, those who were deficient in vitamin D had an 88% increased risk of death from any cause.
Oh, my goodness. What incredible statistics. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. When we come back, numbers to call if you want to take part of in the conversation. Stay tuned. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just a reminder that this show is sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And you will find all manner of really forward-thinking blood tests available at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And the telephone number for more information at Advanced Medical Testing Centers, 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332. And if you are interested in joining in on our conversation this morning, you can call 888-565-1470. 888-565-1470. And you can join us live on the radio, or you can just leave a message and we'll answer your question. Dr. Slavin?
We left off with this statistic in a 54-month study looking at vitamin D levels and the risk of death in over 400,000 healthy adults. Those who were most deficient in vitamin D had an 88% increased risk of death from any cause. So this is, this is important. There was a study published years ago where they looked at people in Australia. You know, Australia is a sunny country. People like to stay outdoors a lot. And they found that the people that worked outdoors on a daily basis actually had a lower incidence of skin cancer than the people that would just go outdoors on the weekends. In other words, they would go out and get burned and, you know, and repeat that, whereas the people working outdoors every day had that protective tan. Now, their skin may have looked leathery, but their incidence of skin cancer was less. So I think it's a good thing to be exposed to the sun. I think they've made everybody worry about their skin. You know, everything is about nice, healthy-looking skin.
Well, I think you just made people worry about their skin going out in the sun by saying that it's potentially going to look leathery. And I'm going to say that...
But they worked outdoors 8 hours a day, you know, every day.
That if their antioxidant level is very, very well supported, if their vitamin C level is very well supported, and if their hydration is well supported, all of those translate into a protective effect for skin cells. So very, very important for collagen production is vitamin C. And then you think about all of the antioxidant containing superfoods. So very, very important to support antioxidant status, and you don't necessarily have to expect leathery looking skin.
Yeah, well, here, I just want to go back to what the FTC, Federal Trade Commission. See, there's so many agencies out there that the government can employ to derail you or stop you from doing. So this was the Federal Trade Commission. So usually they have to do with how you talk about things. So Dr. McCullough had he called them UV light systems, and his goal was to help people raise their vitamin D levels in people who, you know, didn't have a chance to go outside. And that's a lot of people, especially that live in the northern climates where you don't have exposure to light for more than half the year. I don't know if you've ever traveled to Alaska or the Scandinavian countries. You know,
it's in the summer.
The other half of the year, it's dark all the time.
Okay. Years ago, I heard Dr. Mercola speak talking about vitamin D levels. And one of the things that he said is if you shower in chlorinated water, it so changes the chemistry of your skin that even if you're reasonably exposed to sunlight, your ability to convert sunlight to vitamin D in your body is compromised. And then he went on to say, do you use soap in the shower? And yes, indeed, that too changes the chemistry of your skin. So if you are relying on sunlight exposure to support your vitamin D levels, optimize your vitamin D levels. It's rare to have that happen.
So Dr. Mercola called UV light system. The FTC said, no, those are tanning beds. And, you know, this is just how they do it. Previous research found that vitamin D levels of at least 50 were associated with a 50% low risk of breast cancer. Breast cancer patients with an average vitamin D level of 30 were twice as likely to survive compared to women with low levels of vitamin D.
So I'm thinking about certain pharmaceuticals that people might be taking that would compromise their ability to properly metabolize certain dietary sources and supplemental sources of vitamin D and inhibit that ability to change their vitamin D level. What about things like antacids? Might that interfere with how you're absorbing nutrients? Certainly we know cholesterol-lowering drugs. What about antibiotics? When you change the microbiome, my thinking is that it's very possible you inhibit the ability to absorb and metabolize certain nutrients, vitamin D among them.
Now, in another study, they showed a 77% lower cancer risk for women with a vitamin D level of 40 compared to a baseline of 28.
So, I'll go for 80, Dr. Slavin.
And then they were to able more accurately to determine the ideal vitamin D level for cancer prevention. The study included all invasive cancers with the exception of skin cancer and had a follow-up period of 4 years. So here's what they found. The median blood level of vitamin D was 30. The researchers found that the age-adjusted cancer incidence was 1,020 cases per 100,000 person years and 722 per 100,000. So these are two different studies. So the bottom line from the studies was that women with a level of vitamin D of 40 or greater had a 67% lower risk of cancer than women with levels of 20 or less. And we see 20 or less a lot of the time.
Very, very frequently. I see it with people who are taking vitamin D supplementation in the range of 400 IUs to 1,000 IUs. Those dosages don't seem to translate into any improvement in vitamin D level.
Could it be that this is the reason why they tried to block the use of ultraviolet light systems to raise your vitamin D levels, because it might, if it cuts down on cancer incidence by such a high number, think about the impact of that on the medical community. Just a thought. Primary prevention of cancer, rather than expanding early detection, and this is an important distinction, primary prevention of cancer, in other words, let's prevent the cancer in the first place, rather than spending all that money and time looking for cancer after it's occurred. So they're spending all the money on looking for early detection and improving treatment. Doesn't make more sense just to prevent it? Will be essential to reversing the current upward trend of cancer incidence worldwide. This analysis suggests that improving vitamin D status is a key prevention tool. So could it be that they don't want to really prevent cancer? You know, I have discussions with this
Shocking.
With patients all the time saying that once you have cancer, the decisions on what to do next are very difficult because they don't have any good choices. If they had a good choice, first of all, you wouldn't have so many options in how to proceed. You know, if they had a treatment that really worked well, they would say, okay, you have this cancer, just let's do this. But if you went to 10 different oncologists, 10 different cancer treatment centers, you'd probably get 10 different approaches to how to treat the cancer, because there isn't any of them that really stand out. So the effort really needs to be on figuring out how to prevent cancer, and raising your vitamin D level is a place to start.
Okay, there's no money in prevention. And I have to say that is the mindset of the pharmaceutical companies, because they're not doing a whole lot of research with regard to prevention. What they're doing is creating an endless stream of pharmaceuticals to address specific symptoms. That addressing specific symptoms doesn't translate to good health, higher immune function, and better function overall.
Well, how do you figure out how much vitamin D to take? Well, they looked at tribes in East Africa because they were outdoors a lot, exposed to a lot of sunlight, and it was determined that they were getting about 10,000 units of vitamin D a day. And that was associated with a much lower cancer risk. The interesting thing is, back in 2010, the Institute of Medicine recommended vitamin D dosage be 600 units a day.
When I started in the healthcare industry, a one-a-day vitamin had between 2,000 and 4,000 IUs of vitamin D. And then the medical community stepped in and said that was a potentially toxic dose that would accumulate in your liver and cause problems. They also, at the same time, went on to say that vitamin A in the 25,000 IU range could also create toxicity in people's livers. So now what you find in a one-a-day vitamin is beta-carotene and 400 IUs of vitamin D. And those are not, beta-carotene doesn't necessarily translate into A status in your body, and 400 IUs of vitamin D is not going to get you near what you need for protective effect.
Do you think the government is ever involved in fooling the public?
How could you say that, Dr. Slavin?
You know, I'm just thinking back. I mean, we were all very optimistic when Nixon launched the, quote, war on cancer.
We were.
Well, you would hope, they say, you know, he said he's going to end cancer in our lifetime, and everybody says good. And I think, you know, they make these big announcements, and then everything goes on as usual. Nothing changes, but the public thinks, you know, things are happening. Now, I didn't know this. This is very interesting. Back in January of this year, President Obama established the, quote, Cancer Moonshot Task Force with the aim of creating a comprehensive plan to enable progress in treatment and care of cancer. Now, optimizing vitamin D is one of the foundational recommendations that really need to be part of the plan. Yet it's not. You know, I mean, so they come up with these great slogans, make you think the government is doing something on your behalf. But it seems like the behalf they're working on is not the voters.
A great slogan and a very great sum of money allocated to support that slogan, but the truth of the matter doesn't necessarily translate to better health. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we will be back with more. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. The conversation today, very, very much centered around basic things that you can do to support your good health. Dr. Slavin's talking about vitamin D and how to optimize it and how that translates to protection, prevention of disease.
And here's an example with prostate cancer. And this is out of Northwestern University School of Medicine. And they discovered that men diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer typically have vitamin D levels below 23. And the men, of course, that didn't have the aggressive prostate cancer had much higher levels.
So, well, let's talk also about the conventional medical approach to prostate cancer. Very often, prescription might be for Lupron to reduce testosterone. And if the person diagnosed with prostate cancer actually had hormones tested, they might see not only very low vitamin D levels, but also low testosterone and high estrogen. So the conventional approach of Lupron to lower testosterone may just exacerbate the situation. And in the course of that treatment, the patient feels terrible. By totally suppressing one hormone or another, and I'll go on from that Lupron to the hormonal approach for many women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer, that the approach is to suppress estrogen with drugs like Arimidex, and they don't feel well. So the idea to support good health would be balance the hormones rather than artificially totally suppress one hormone or another. And we know that there are three different forms of estrogen, and two of them beneficial and health supporting. One of them, if it's out of proper ratio, can contribute to some of the risk of developing breast cancer.
Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in people with congestive heart failure. Giving vitamin D to those groups of people raised their ejection fraction by 8%. And both groups were taking all the medications that are typically prescribed. So the only change was the vitamin D level. And so it made a difference in heart function. Now, what's interesting is to try and understand this one, because we know that dermatologists are constantly telling people stay out of the sun. Or if you go in the sun, slather all those skin creams on there. And I think it's probably those companies that are influencing those decisions or advice that dermatologists are giving. Disease statistics reveal the sun scare campaign has really been taken too far. And by too far, meaning all the diseases associated with low vitamin D levels are not being addressed. Maybe that's a good thing from some people's point of view.
It's very, very interesting because I'm going to say maybe in the range of 30, 40 years ago, there was a campaign to discredit PABA use as a means of protecting your skin from overexposure to ultraviolet rays, or in the case of very, very fair-skinned people, sensitive skin, don't use PABA, that so many people have an allergic reaction to the PABA, and it is not a reasonable way to protect yourself from sunburn and skin damage. The truth of the matter is PABA works from the inside out, and PABA is typically available as part of your B-complex vitamin profile. So using a very, very high quality B-complex and possibly supporting it with a little bit additional PABA, which you can get as a single B vitamin, then you have from the inside out the ability to maintain healthy skin and protection to a certain extent from damaging UV rays. Now, what you cannot do in relying on PABA is extreme overexposure. So if you're out on the ocean in a boat, if you are on the beach, if you're out in the golf course or tennis courts or outside for extended periods of time, my suggestion is wear a hat. Wear sunglasses, because you very, very do much want to protect your eyes from the potential damage from overexposure to the sun. You want to wear certain types of clothing that are going to block those UV rays. So optimize your vitamin D. Understand how important B-complex vitamins and additional PABA might be. Understand the role that your microbiome plays in this whole picture. Without the beneficial bacteria in your lower digestive tract, you are not able to optimize the utilization of all of those B-complex vitamins. What are some of the things that are going to make the situation worse? Sugar. And when you think about the sugar content in so much of our processed food, and when we started out the show this morning, we were talking about how things have changed over the past 50, 60 years. We certainly saw McDonald's franchise become very, very common on almost every intersection corner, kind of in competition with those drugstores that are on every street corner. So important for people to understand where they have been guided, the pathway has been opened for them to be involved in all of these choices that aren't necessarily good for them.
Well, here's one. You know, again, you're hearing so much advice to avoid the sun. Sun avoidance. This is an interesting association. Avoiding the sun equals smoking in terms of mortality risk.
Wow.
So now, you know, that sort of puts things into perspective. And this was out of researchers in Sweden. And they said non-smokers who avoided sun exposure had a life expectancy similar to smokers in the highest sun exposure group. So in other words, you have people that smoked and had a lot of sun exposure, and they had the same life expectancy as people who didn't smoke but didn't expose themselves to the sun. So this indicated that avoidance of sun exposure is a risk factor for death of a similar magnitude as smoking. Compared to the highest sun exposure group, life expectancy of avoiders of sun exposure was reduced by 0.6 to 2.1 years. Though that may not seem like a lot, when you're young, you remember what Frank Sinatra was asked, I think, for his 82nd birthday. What did he want? You know what he wanted? Another birthday. So 0.6 to 2.1 years doesn't seem like a lot until you're near the end, and then you say, I want that. So, again, vitamin D, easy test to do, easy way to correct the levels. As the study showed, like in Africa, they were exposed to 10,000 units a day. That was the number that I came up with to recommend to patients, because I found that was the amount of vitamin D people needed to get their levels up to the optimum ranges. So for most people, 10,000 units are the right amount. Some people can do it with lower levels. Some people need higher levels. And what everybody needs is to check your response to the vitamin D so it doesn't go too high. Recently, there was someone that's thought that if 10,000 units was good, 20,000 units was better, and their vitamin D went up to 200. You know, the range cuts off at 100. No side effects, no problems. But I still told them, you know, you don't take the 20,000. You know, 200 is more than... more than we think you need, but maybe, you know, that's even a better number. We don't know for sure.
And that's kind of my thinking. We don't necessarily know that 100 is the cutoff.
Yeah, I mean, this is an arbitrary number. Again, you know, we don't know what, I don't know if the study has actually been done to see what if your levels are 200. Does that even give you greater protection? You know, who knows? But all I can say is it seems like the government is working hard to prevent people from doing everything they can to be healthy. Because if they were really interested in health, you would see more information about the deadly effects of smoking, of drinking, of sugar. All the bad habits, of sugar in particular. Sugar kills more people than all the other ones combined. You know, sugar, and yet all they do is make a big deal about people that need pain control medication. And they, you know, that shouldn't happen. They, you know, they should suffer in pain.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. Remember, Dr. Slavin and I will be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. See you then.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.